You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, April 13th, episode 3926 by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We have a really fun show planned for you today. We have some of Jamie's friends on. Larissa's going to join us to tell us all about her adventure to the World Cup in Texas. Also, we hear about how feed-through fly control works with Clarify. And on this day in equine history, it takes us back in time to a warhorse that survived 6 bullets and multiple arrows. And Jamie had her first ride on Amigo. We're going to hear about that. And then we're doing something special today. We normally have a post show for our auditors. Those are the people that support us through Patreon. And today, occasionally, we'll open up that post show to everybody. So everybody's going to hear the post show today. And it kind of is appropriate that we chose today because Larissa's husband, the guest who's going to tell us about the World Cup, dragged her husband along to watch dressage. And in the post show, we're going to get his take on how it was watching all those many rounds of World Cup dressage. So we're going to do that in today's post show. Now, you ended up not going, right?
I ended up not going for, sadly, multiple reasons. So we actually expected extreme weather, and extreme weather in springtime in Oklahoma is nothing to sneeze at. And so they had said maybe Saturday night would be tornadic. And I don't feel like it's fair to leave Ginger here and be like, see ya, I'm going to go watch horses in Texas while you take care of my farm. So that was number one. And I really thought, you know, that they were kind of dwindling down with the idea of the storms, like maybe pushed off to tomorrow. And so I was like, okay, I think I can go. And then Chad was on call and then he got called. I'm like, okay, so now Chad's gone and I have to get Lucas to his school dance on Saturday night. They're like last dance of the year. And remember, he's like, got a thing for a girl at his school. So we had to, you know, we had to go. So there was just too much to leave to other people. It just got to be too much. And so fortunately, Larissa's husband was able to accompany her. And I knew she would know a ton of people down there, so I wasn't super concerned. Plus, Larissa can talk to a fence post and have a conversation. So I wasn't worried about her at all. But yes, we ended up staying here. So what happened?
All right. So in the Jumping World Cup, Kent Farrington, American equestrian Kent Farrington, won on Greya, delivered a dominant performance. Get this. He finished with only 4 faults over 4 days of competition. So good job, Kent. He actually won.
That's amazing.
It was so he grew up studying videotapes of World Cup finals. That's what he did in his free time. So,
no way.
So he ended up winning his first individual title here on home soil, which was really cool for him. So congratulations to Kent.
I watched some of the clips. That horse is ridiculous. Like there's one point where the horse jumps and clears the fence from like 2 strides back. And you're just like, oh, how does that happen? So well done, Kent.
And you know, what's really cool is we occupied 2 of the 3 spots on the podium. So Katie, is it Dinan or I never remember how to say her name.
Dinan,
Horse out of the blue secured 3rd place after jumping clear rounds on the final day. And then both of the other Americans ended up in the top 10 as well. So it was a good showing overall for the Americans. And on home turf, too. So hopefully that's a precursor to the Olympics, right? Let's hope so. And in World Cup dressage, we're going to hear more about that later with Larissa. But British rider Becky Moody claimed the title in her debut performance at World Cup. And she has a homebred gelding, Jägerbomb. And if anybody knows her story, if you don't, look it up. It's worth checking her out. Everybody was rooting for her there. She was definitely the favorite because of this homebred gelding thing.
She trained him herself, yes. I believe, from like beginning to now.
She had a score, and this isn't freestyle on Saturday night. She had a score of 88.3. that's like damn near perfect in dressage score world. It's really up there. So she did the Beatles. She did her freestyle to the Beatles, which was a good choice for a British girl to do. And they said one judge awarded a mark of 90%, which is unheard of. And so she, by the way, she calls him Bomb, so which I think is good too.
It's unheard of unless you're on a horse named Bellegro.
Yeah. I mean, her scores were close to Bellegro's scores. So good for her. And there was a 23-year-old by the name of Christian Simonson who came in second place at 23 years old on a horse, Indian Rock. And he did Rocky. So, you know, that was, and he, you know, he had a career high of 83.810. So good for all of them. Congratulations to everybody. Apparently went off without a hitch. I heard people, this is what I heard the most about the show jumping, is people were raving about the course. And I did watch a couple rounds of it. Tammy was there, our friend Tammy, who runs Road to the Horse. And she kept sending me videos from the rounds. She was filming it and sending me videos. So nice. I got to watch some of the rounds, and the course was cool. It was a cool course, and I get to watch more show jumping now that we live near WEC. But it was a cool course. It was well done. I think they did a good job. It was well done. The stands were not full, Jamie. Even for show jumping. That was sad, but it was Texas.
I mean, I do wonder too, like everybody in this whole area had weather, threats of weather. Well, so I wonder how much that had to do with it.
Usually in the world, I don't want to get political. I'm just making this as a statement of fact. Usually in the World Cup, people come from all the countries around the world to watch. And a lot of them would come to the United States. So they saw less tourists coming in for this. So I think that had a factor too. And if they had had it in Vegas, I think they would have gotten more crowd. But I know they try and mix it up. So I don't know if they were full in Oklahoma when it was there. I don't remember. But anyway.
The World Cup was in Oklahoma once?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, that's weird. Yep. I didn't know that.
Yep, Oklahoma City. Reese went to that one, actually. You'll hear more about the dressage stuff on Reese and Megan were both at the World Cup, so you'll hear more about that over on the Dressage Radio Show. But let's do some Daily Whinnies, and then we'll talk more World Cup with Larissa.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Well, happy birthday to Allison Anderson, one of our terrific auditors, and also our friend, many years co-host of several shows here on the Horse Radio Network, Christy Landwehr. Happy birthday to you too, Christy. Also, I want to give a thank you to Ashley and Allison for their coverage of Equine Affair over the weekend. They did a great job. Ashley had a blast. She had so much fun. I don't know if you saw the picture of her doing the Barnyard Olympics. Oh my God. If you want to hear all about that, listen to yesterday, Sunday's episode where she talks. She was dressed, she was the Barnyard Barbie, and she was pink from head to toe. She had a blast. I did want to apologize. I edited those shows and produced them for them. They sent me the sound files and I produced them at home here. They had a sound issue on Saturday, and Jamie, will you so relate to this? I couldn't hear. 5 minutes in to Saturday's show, I couldn't hear Ashley off in the distance. Her mic died and she didn't know.
Oh, no.
So I was able to, with the help of AI, this show would not have gone out on Saturday had it not been for AI helping me to fix the sound file. And it did a pretty good job considering she was coming through Allison's mic 3 feet away. And she ended up throwing that mic away. But we've had that happen to us at shows over the years. They just die. They don't last forever and they get bounced around and stuff. So we apologize for that. Sound was fine again on Sunday. But that's what happened if you heard it on Saturday or wondering what happened to Ashley's mic. I did the best I could to fix it, thanks to, with some help of my AI friend.
So you told me a while ago that I give too many Daily Whinnies to my husband.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Today I get it. Okay. Cause I am like the best wife ever, a superstar wife who yesterday sat on the couch and watched the final day of the Masters. Remember, my husband is a uber passionate golfer and loves all things golf. And the Masters, for anybody who likes golf, is just, it's like Super Bowl. Their Super Bowl. Yeah.
But it's still golf.
It's still golf, but it's like Breeders' Cup. You know, there's like a couple of days of races that I watch continuously. And so this is like his thing. So I was a super wife. To be fair, there is one golfer that I absolutely adore, and his name is Rory McIlroy, and he's from Northern Ireland, and he is adorable, and he won his first Masters last year after 15 years of not winning, and like ball, and everybody's crying. I saw him last year and I was crying. It was so great. Well, he's playing the whole game, and I'm like, one of the, you know, the, how they have like those little like head covers that they put on their golf clubs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And
so he has this big plush, like St. Bernard dog head cover. Okay. And it looks so silly, but I was like, there's got to be a story there. So AI again, I started asking AI, like, what is up with the giant fluffy dog head cover that Rory McIlroy carries with him at the Masters? Turns out that Rory is like a super dog lover, super fan, and he has had that in his bag since he was 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
14. And he has had many, many like different sponsors try to give him a sponsor head cover. And he's like, nope, I'm keeping the dog. And so it's so cute. And his little daughter was out there and she was like, it was so adorable. And anyway, congratulations, Roy, because he won. And I was actually invested in him because there's like one guy that we don't like. And we're like, oh, I hope you hit it in the water. I mean, it was like this ridiculous. I was like, oh, that guy sucks. Oh, wait, his pants are terrible. Like so many people have ill-fitting pants. I'm like, you're at the Masters. Why are your pants not tailored? And then like ridiculous shirts, because I always say that sometimes when Chad goes out to play golf, I'm like, you look like the biggest douchebag ever, because it's like ridiculous.
I think it's required to play golf, isn't it, though, to look that way?
Sometimes I'm like, dude, he'll come out in like a teal shirt. I'm like, oh, happy Easter. You know, like it's just ridiculous.
It's opposite. The only place that you'll see bright orange and bright yellow and bright pink pants. It's the only place.
Yeah. It's silly and they look ridiculous, but not at the Masters. You won't see that at the Masters. They all have pretty buttoned down clothes. And it's really cool too, because at the Masters, they don't allow cell phones. You can't take your phone in. So nobody's recording, you know, like holding up their phones as somebody's shooting. They're just all sitting there.
That's amazing. Because you go to Kentucky now and watch that event. Every jump, everybody's holding up their phone.
Yeah. Well, music concerts, everything. So it's kind of interesting to see just people.
That's a
just
great idea. I'm forcing them to be in the moment.
Day. Yeah. Yeah. And they have like clothing. You won't see any Hoochie Mamas out there. Like they have clothes. They have, you can either have a summer dress or like khakis, no denim allowed.
It's so there's not going to be any Houston rodeo controversy. Yes.
No boobs popping out or anything like that at the Masters. It's very buttoned up. And, so anyway, I like watching the Masters with him on Sundays, and the fact that it was Rory. So congratulations, Rob. I'm sure he's listening right now. Way
the Kentucky
to go.
Derby used to be that way. I think it's gotten a little more hoochie than over the years.
Dude, the Kentucky Derby is like a strip club in the middle.
Hey, I saw an interesting video over the weekend of you riding your horse for the first time, amigo.
I had my first ride with him as a gelding. I did try him when I was in California, but If you remember me talking about riding Amigo, his name is Jubiloso, and I go out there and he's in cross ties and he was chained in cross ties. So they like keep him chained into cross ties. And then when they led him out, they tacked him up while he was in stocks. Okay. So he's in stocks chained in these cross ties and there's a brick wall behind him. So, you know, you never really know. I didn't really know what he would do when I was doing all of this with him. So they tied him up, they chained him in, they tacked him up, they led him out. And when I got on him, they had already lunged him to pieces. When I got on him, I had a guy on both sides holding the reins. So there's a bit of like, what's gonna happen? Like, I don't know what would have happened if I didn't have guys holding on both sides of him. But again, he was so snuggly and so pretty. I bought him anyway. So I've been long lining him and I've been tacking him up. I cannot round pin him, Glenn. It is so interesting. When you go to do join up or something with him, I'm hoping it'll get better, but he has like zero boundary. And you know, I've done a billion join ups and I just feel like round pin work should be fairly easy. When you go to turn him and try to get him to go the other directions, it's like jumping in front of a freight train and you're like, is it going to stop? I don't know. And then you end up like,
oh, you mean it comes right toward you? Comes right at you?
It's like you're a bullfighter. You have to like leap out of the way. In the right. Anyway,
well, he's Spanish.
Exactly. He's a bullfighting horse. It's genetic. So I tacked him up in the stall and then took him out. And I've long lined him a couple of days. And yesterday I got on him and I forgot.
Now, were you alone? What? Or did you have somebody there? Okay.
No, I always have. I have somebody with me. And Ginger, I was really excited to come out and participate in the first ride. So I bellied him just like I do all the race horses. I've been treating him, just kind of restarting him and bellied him. And he was like more freaked up by my feet sticking out than anything. So I ended up getting on him and taking him around. And oh my God, he's so pretty. He's so pretty.
However, seemed to be good.
He was really good. He is three because I was like, oh yeah, you don't have any buttons other than somebody sitting on you. And, you know, when they rode him, they have giant spurs and a giant whips on both sides, you know, and I didn't have any of that when I test rode him, and I was able to trot and canter both directions, but it was like not beautiful. So I realized here that, I mean, it's a three-year-old. I'm going to have to start. No, he doesn't move out. Like I tried to put my leg on to get him to scoot over and he, nope, none of that. There's no giant spurs in his side. There's no whip coercing him.
The thoroughbreds, they have some of that anyway, right? So they have some of those base, at least how to go.
Or I expect them to not have that.
Right.
You know, where I rode him, I was, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. I just kind of pushed all the buttons to see what would happen. And I got a little trot out of him, but that was not it. Yeah. So just going to build from there. And then we had too much rain yesterday, so I didn't get to do it again, but I'm going to do it again after the show. I'm going to go ride. Cause now I'm like, I want to ride him three times a day.
How big is he, by the way? How big, tall is he?
I got to measure him. He's probably 15'2".
Okay, because when I saw you on him, Jennifer said the same thing when we watched the video. She said right away, how tall is he? Jamie doesn't look too small like she usually does on all the horses. Because we used to see videos of you on 17-hand horses, you know?
Yeah, he's got a lot of filling out and growing
but
to do.
You looked like you fit the horse size wise.
Really?
Yes.
I was like, I look like a giant on him. I don't know why.
No.
I think I'm used to seeing myself on 17 monsters.
Yeah. No, I thought it was like, okay, that's a good match. That's what I thought right away.
Aw, thanks.
You know, he looks great. He looks good.
Yeah, he's got a lot of filling out. I mean, he's as narrow as, you know, a saddlebred, you know, very narrow right now. I mean, he's just going to fill out and grow. He's only three. And he's quite thin. By the time he got here, he was thin. And then by the time he got castrated, he was even thinner. So, yeah. So he's, I mean,
you cut 50 pounds off. Okay, I'll let you sit with that one for a minute.
It's fairly accurate because I took two basketballs off of him.
On that note, later on in the show, as a matter of fact, at the end of the show, I want to bring up something else you posted from the weekend because I thought it was one of the coolest family things that I've seen in a long time. So we'll get to that later in the show. Before we get to our first guest, I wanted to mention, we talked about this when it happened, and I think now it's time for us to get together with all of our listeners and do something spectacular. Sagamore Farm went up for sale. That's the historic Maryland equestrian estate of racers. That's the one. That's the one where Native Dancer was and was built.
So
by
this
the
is not a real get together with the listeners thing.
We're going to do this. We're going to buy this because the price came down. It started at $22 million in early 2025, and now it's dropped to $16.5. It's like it's free.
Oh, yeah. It's basically free.
It is. I mean, this is 440 acres in Maryland, a 16,000 square foot mansion. And if I'm not kidding, 16,000. If you go to the link I put there, Jamie, you'll see the house. It's unfreaking believable. It's 7 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms. I'm telling you, this could be like a resort for listeners. I have to talk to the new company that owns us and see if they'll go for this. The facilities are world-class. They have a training track, and they have a clockers tower. That's a viewing lounge where you can watch the horses go around the track. I could live full-time in the tower. It's that nice. They have stallion training, broodmare barns. They have multiple houses on this place. It is unfreaking believable.
Oh my gosh, there's like murals on the walls of horses racing.
Oh, this is an incredible place.
Oh wow.
I'm shocked they couldn't sell it at $22 million. That shows you the market's down a little, because it can you imagine COVID year, this would have sold for $40 million.
Who can buy this though? Like, who needs a 16,000 square foot
just
house?
Can you imagine what the taxes are here in this place? But I figure if we get together, we know we have tens of thousands of listeners. If we all go together and put in, you know, $1,000, right? What's that add up to? Do we get enough?
I can't even imagine.
And then we'll
how
rent
much.
It out the rooms like a bed Airbnb.
Would it come furnished? Because I want all the things in this house.
I know. It's pretty nice. The house, I looked at the house and went, oh my God. But can you imagine sweeping that place, like vacuuming? Oh, it would take you a week just to vacuum
the
house.
Your staff.
Yeah, you definitely would. Well, spring is in the air, but for most trailer owners, that just means it's time to face the black hole underneath those rubber mats. If you're tired of the seasonal struggle to clean the floors under those mats in your trailer, listen to what people are saying about worm flooring. Sarah put it perfectly. I used to dread spring cleaning my trailer, but with worm, I just hose it out and I'm done. My trailer is 5 years old and the aluminum underneath still looks like brand new. That's what the worm difference is. Their poured-in-place system, which stands for we eliminate rubber mats, seals your floor completely so you're not just cleaning. So it's not just cleaning easier, you're stopping corrosion before it starts. And that's one of the biggest problems with wood and aluminum floors. Also, customer Mike shared that his anxious loaders finally settled down because of the cushioned, slip-resistant surface gave them so much more confidence on the road. That's something we don't talk about very often because mats can become slippery too. As you gear up for show season, don't settle for shifting mats and hidden rot. Join the thousands of owners who have switched to a permanent solution that protects their horses and their investment. Visit wormflooring.com today.
You talk about not slipping. Butters escaped the other day. I was bringing in horses, and I guess I didn't push the gate all the way shut and latch it. And he got out. And of course, he's like, you know, wait for me. I got little legs, and starts to run through the barn. And he just ran through the barn because he didn't slip on the concrete because I have worm flooring on my barn floor. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this house, by the way. And I am a little, there's just something missing. There's no pool, Glenn. How am I supposed to live in a place like this with no infinity pool? Ugh, I just can't.
With the pool room and the game room and the theater, all of those weren't enough for you. You need a pool.
Is that a barn in the shape of a track? Oh my God.
I'm telling you, this thing is.
Native dancers buried here.
Yes. There's 1,000 pictures. I'll put a link to this page, this for sale page.
Oh, my God.
You have to look at these pictures, everybody.
This is not real. This is not real.
You have to look at the pictures. It's incredible. It is real. And it has the largest American flag I've ever seen hanging in a house. I don't know. It must be a story behind that.
It's so historic. There's plaques hanging up everywhere.
It's really cool. All right. Let's get to your friend, Larissa.
Well, unfortunately, I did not get to go to the World Cup, as we know, this past weekend. However, I mean, we had boots on the ground, Glenn. Okay, that's right. I sent my bestie, Larissa. Hi, girl.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're really sad to be missing out on work right now.
You know, if I had to choose, it would definitely be talking to you in the morning rather than checking my email.
sounds good. So, oh my gosh. So you got to go to the World Cup, and I've been like living with a lot of guilt because Chad got called away, and then I have so many things to do, and we got storms coming, and we got it was just too much for me. And so I have been sitting with a lot of guilt, like, oh my God, Larissa is going to have to go by herself. This is so sad. However, you did not go by yourself. Tell everybody who you took.
I did not go by myself. My lovely husband drove me all the way down to Dallas and attended the World Cup with me. And there were bunches of people I knew down there already. So I ran into tons of people that I wasn't, you know, crying in a corner alone, but I didn't miss you very much.
Yeah, I really expected you to be crying in a corner alone. So yeah, I'm glad you were able to make it with all the shopping and horses that you got to see. Okay, so we all know that you are now this big fancy dressage rider because you have this big fancy dressage horse. So let's talk about, you get there, we'll get into shopping and all this stuff, but like, talk to me about the competition.
The competition was so amazing. It's so fun when there is something that you can just pop down and go to that is FEI level, that, you know, a 5-star, any of these kinds of things where you're getting to see these big international riders. My husband and I have realized this is our first international sporting event that we attended together. So that was really fun. Yeah.
And so I can clarify in my own mind, Larissa, you went to see dressage, right?
Yes, we just saw the dressage on Saturday night. I was also, you know, fighting storms and work and kids and one thing and another. So we did not, I had friends that were down there, you know, from 5 a.m. Wednesday from the dressage familiarization all the way to Sunday night. But we just were able to get down for Saturday night's freestyle.
Got it. Which so is, if you're going to watch any dressage, freestyle is the one to watch.
It's the one I figured my husband would resent me the least for.
We're going to find out later in the show about that.
How, if they're still married, the jury's out. Because I know I could not get Chad to go sit through dressage, freestyle or not. So your husband's a little more into like, not supporting you, but engaging with you on horse stuff. He's definitely a lot more hands-on than some husbands I know, Glenn. So you're sitting there, you're watching the dressage, like talk to me about like what the majesty of it.
The Dickies Arena, which is where it was held, is in Fort Worth. It is a historic arena that typically hosts Western horse events. So there was a cutting event that was going on across the way that was, you know, all these celebrities were riding these Western horses in a cutting event. And we were at the big main arena in Fort Worth, and it's, I mean, it's like 100 years old. It was gorgeous. It was absolutely beautiful inside, completely climate controlled, of course. And all of the shopping vendors and things on the outside. And then you walk into a big coliseum and it was just absolutely beautiful. The crowds were amazing. Everyone was so supportive. I mean, everybody was very interactive with each rider as the riders came in, cheering and talking and signs, and the announcers were talking to the spectators and the spectators were responding to the announcers. It was a really fun show to attend.
That seems crazy. Like, isn't dressage like usually fairly buttoned up when you're watching it? Or is that just the difference in Texas? Or is that the difference in a freestyle?
So I went to the World Cup in Omaha when it was there as well. And I felt like the crowd was definitely more buttoned up in Omaha than they were here down in Texas. So it must have been a little bit of Texas flair to the crowd. I mean, there were a few times you could kind of see the, I mean, goodness gracious, the crowds, I saw people like fist pumping, jumping up and down in their seats, you know, as some of these riders are putting on these incredible performances.
Well, they're used to watching reining and rodeo where you do cheer the whole time.
Yes. You could see some of the riders being a little nervous about how enthusiastic the crowd was, hoping their horses didn't come undone, but nobody's horse came undone and all the rides were just absolutely spectacular.
I remember at Kentucky one year we were watching, and I think it was Kyle Carter who came out and he was doing his show jumping, and he cantered around and put his fingers to his lips to like shush the crowd so he could have like a ride by him, you know, in the quiet. Did anybody react like that? Like, tell everybody be quiet.
Oh my gosh. No, everybody was like very, You know, especially as they got to the end of their test, you could see them like, okay, we've made it through all of the, you know, complicated parts of our routine, of our floor plan. And then, you know, like Becky Moody in her ride, you know, as soon as she hit that last drive down center line, just, you know, hands in the air, big smiles, waving the crowds on. Julio Mendoza Lore literally like dropped reins and like started pumping the crowd in. They were all super into it. As soon as they got done with the super, super hard parts of their floor plan. Now, Christian Simonson, I think his horse had a little kerfuffle in a corner, but I don't think it had anything to do with the crowd. But he was the only horse that seemed to be anywhat affected by the atmosphere.
Now, Becky Moody won. Did you, when you watched it, you went, did you go, oh, she's going to win this thing?
I was really hoping for her, of course, because, you know, she's home, you know, that Jacob Brahm's a homebred. But also I'm a big fan of Maxima Bella, whose rider is from Poland, and I've been watching her for several years. So I was definitely hoping for Becky. Everybody is hoping for Becky, right? Like, she's just a small town girl, you know, riding her horse at the World Cup, and everybody, you know, loves her. So everybody was hoping for her.
And watching all of the tests, how, like, I don't know. It's like when I watch the Olympics, even on TV, it just gets me right in the gut to see these people that have worked for something their whole life be able to complete this event in the Olympic Games, and watching their parents and everything. I just get overly emotional. How did you feel watching it? That close.
Oh my gosh. As I was watching Becky Moody do her two-time Tempies on like serpentine loops and smiling, and the Beatles music is going, I'm like crying. Like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful thing. I mean, it's just absolutely stunning. And it just is so overwhelming when you get to see these people. Becky Moody had not won a World Cup title. And so, of course, we're all like holding our breath. And when she wins, you know, there's tears. Like, I'm sitting with a group of like 15 girls, and I think, you know, half of us are crying, like, oh my God, she did it. You know, everybody's so excited for her because it was the one cup title she didn't have. And it was just, you read all these stories about these riders, like Julio Mendoza, who got his horse for $20 because somebody believed in the pair. And then you watch him, you know, pee off down center line, and you're just like bawling into your hands about how magical their partnership is. It's so beautiful. So it was so emotional and just wonderful.
Okay, so I'm not the only crier. That's good.
I wanted to ask you, too. You know, Christian Simonson is only 23 and came in second place. How cool is that?
It was amazing. I mean, he's so young. And the horse has been, you know, a well-experienced horse, but he's not, I mean, I think his horse is 13 years old. So, I mean, it was like watching a baby. It was like watching a baby. He was like, is that kid? Did his mom bring him? Like, oh my gosh. And watching his interview, because we got to stay and see some of the interviews and stuff afterwards, like, he just didn't even know how to process what had happened. He was just overwhelmed. And it was so incredible to watch somebody so incredibly young do what he was doing and handle it. Like I said, his horse had a little bobble in a corner, and I think all four of the horse's feet left the ground simultaneously. And that kid just like an absolute rock star of a professional, just didn't miss a step in the test and just kept going. It was so impressive.
Well, and he had a bobble, so he wasn't too far behind the winner score-wise. I mean, if he hadn't had the bobble, he might have been right there.
He might have. I mean, it didn't really affect the way that the horse was going, but it just, because he as a rider handled it so well, I don't think the bobble even affected his score. It was...
And he did
it
Rocky, right? So didn't he do Rocky?
Yeah, he rode Indian Rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he had the Rocky movie theme. Was that his?
Oh, yeah. It was super fantastic.
Wow. Okay, so the horses were amazing. Let's talk shopping. What'd you do? Is it like the Kentucky 3-Day Lewis and I have gone probably the past 5 years together. What was it like shopping-wise? Like, is it like Kentucky, or is it more just dressage? I don't know. Tell me about it.
It was very much like a mini Kentucky. So they had some tents set up around outside of the Dickies Arena. I may or may not have accidentally ordered custom boots. I was just going to get fitted. And then, you know, my husband was standing there smiling like, you should totally do it. And so I did it. I ordered some custom boots and they have,
well, you have a custom new horse. You have to have custom boots to match.
I mean,
right?
It makes sense.
What I said, it's time to upgrade the boots. If you upgrade the horse,
saddles next.
And like, they've got this cool new 3D, you stick your leg in a machine and it 3D scans your leg, and the bootmaker takes all of your measurements and puts it together with a 3D scan of your leg to make perfectly fit boots. Oh, so wow. That's at the LM booth. So that was really fun. I
Are
cannot wait for
kidding
my boots
me?
To get here.
You can never lose or gain weight again. That's
exactly. Like, you're stuck there because, like, literally they scan your leg with a 3D scanner and send it off to the bootmaker.
Wow.
How yeah. long do you have to wait?
It is up to 3 months for these boots. So, you know, I'm pretty sure I've made it my entire life without custom boots before, but I'm pretty sure I might die waiting for these.
And so your husband was like supportive of you getting custom boots?
Oh my gosh, he knows me. He said, just buy them or I'll have to hear you talk about the pros and cons of this for the next 6 months. Just buy them. I don't want to listen to it.
It's a defense mechanism. Yes. He did it for his own benefit.
He did it for his own sanity. Oh, he did. Because I would talk about whether or not I should buy them for 6 months before I actually buy them.
Did you do any jumping at all? Or was it just dressage?
I just did the dressage, okay. So, yeah.
And did he watch with you? Was he on his phone? Like, how engaged was he?
He made it through most of it without being on his phone. However, I did look over at one point, and he was working on spreadsheets for work. If I don't do something, I'm going to fall asleep. The music is so rhythmic. It's putting me to sleep. But he was, you know, I would whack him and go, this is Becky Moody. We have to watch. This is Julio. We have to watch. This is my, you know, I would make him watch the ones that I wanted to watch. And then I'd be like, okay, you don't have to watch.
Can you imagine if he had to sit through the non-freestyles, the regular tests? Oh my God.
The poor guy.
Listen, payback is a B because I was watching the freaking Masters all day Sunday, and Chad would literally hit me and go, oh my God, Lou, did you see that shot? And then hit me. I'm like, I'm right here. I'm doing enough. I'm sitting on the couch.
I always wondered who watched golf on TV. Now I know it's you and your husband.
Oh my God. Don't put me in that. I just was a supporting and loving wife. And you know what? He watches a Breeders' Cup with me for 3 days, you know, or 2 days. So it was time for me to pay back. And the Masters is something that is important. So I know Kyle is a golfer too. Did he make you watch the Masters on Sunday?
He did not. Well, they, as our children have started competitive wrestling and they do, you know, collegiate wrestling fans stuff, we watch the same thing happen over and over and over again.
You watch wrestling. That's about the same as dressage, actually. I think.
It's pretty much the same. Yeah.
I was a wrestler, so I can say that.
It's the same. It's the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Did this motivate you to come home and get on your horse and be a Grand Prix rider?
Oh, it was absolutely. I'm pretty sure I'm ready to go to the Olympics in 2028. I can do it. I was sitting next to a whole bunch of girls that train with the same trainer that I do. And as we were leaving, she said, I'm booked for the week. All the girls are riding tomorrow. Everybody was booking lessons as they were walking out the door. Let's do this. Everybody's super motivated. So
I love that.
We're all ready to go show now.
Do you think there of the crowd, do you think that a lot of them were locals who may have been Western riders, or was it all the English crowd that came in from everywhere else?
From what I was seeing, it looked very much like there was mostly dressage riders. Now, I ran into a couple who were general equestrians. This lady, they had been to the Paris Olympics to see the equestrian stuff. And they were just kind of equestrian fans and casual riders, not necessarily dressage riders. So I ran into some of those people as well. But I would say
those people,
just general equestrians, non-dressage riders. But I think probably 80% of the crowd was like super, at least at the event that I was at, was super dressage fans. And another 20% that were probably, you know, holdovers from the show jumping and people that were just there, you know, because they lived in the area and were horse people, whether they be cutting or Western. But it was really fun to see a lot of cowboy hats in the stands.
I know that I wanted to tell Jamie that Tammy, our friend who's Western rides, she's the mounted shooter, runs Road to the Horse. I was chatting with her. She was sending me pictures and videos during the finals of show jumping. And of course, she's Western. But you know what she said? She actually saw some of the dressage too. Tammy even said she wants to take a dressage lesson. And she is as Western as they get. So look, it motivated the most Western girl I know to want to do a dressage lesson.
Well, oh, good. I think the next day, so Sunday, I think there was a mix of everything. Did you guys stick around to watch any of the jumping?
We did not stick around to watch any of the jumping. Wanted to get home to my horse so I could ride. I got
not as motivated.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for coming on and giving us a report. We will be heading to the Kentucky 3-day in, oh my God, how many days? Like two weeks, less than 2 weeks. Ah, freaking out. So,
And hang on, everybody. So we're going to do something special today. Larissa's husband's coming on in the post show for the auditors. But we're going to do something. We don't do this very often, but today we're going to make that post show available to everybody. So everybody will kind of see what they miss out on by not hanging or by not being an auditor and what we do kind of in the auditor post show. So we're going to have him come on to give his version and see how it differs from Larissa's.
I do also want to remind everybody that when I purchased the horse that I have in my barn, Craigslist Carl, Craigslist Carl's name when I bought Carl was Kyle. Larissa's husband is also named Kyle. And I thought, won't that be hilarious when I can call Larissa and say, I rode Kyle all day. And she thought it was really funny. And my husband did not. So Kyle in my barn became Carl. So I don't even know if your husband knows that or not, but whatever.
He does know that because I was giggling laughing over our hilarious text threads. He was not as entertained.
This was not horse husband approved on either side.
Do you know what's amazing, Larissa, is how funny we are. We're so funny, and like they just don't get it. I mean, we're hilarious.
I know.
It's whatever. It's
thank
fine.
You, Larissa.
We're hilarious.
Thank you, Larissa.
Thanks, guys.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that U.S. Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
Well, I'm so excited to welcome a new sponsor to the show today, and I'm even more excited that this particular product has been one that we haven't talked about in 15 years. We have Kenley Zuga with us. She's Regional Sales Manager at Central Life Sciences. Hey, Kenley.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So, you know, I know many of our listeners will not have heard of you, so tell us a little bit about Central Life Sciences. What is it?
Yeah, so that's a common reaction. So Central Life Sciences, a lot of people don't necessarily know the company or who we are, but they probably recognize a lot of our different brands. So Central Life Sciences, we're owned by a parent company called Central Garden and Pet. They own Pennington grass seed, Nylabone dog toys, Farnham in the equine world. Farnham is a Central Garden and Pet company. So kind of a big company made up of a bunch of different brands and products, but Central Life Sciences specifically, we have a lot of different divisions in the agricultural space. So we focus on insect control and livestock with our feed additives. We have products that go into grain bins to treat, you know, bugs and grain, kind of whole bunch of different things, but mainly in the agricultural space.
At Farnham is one of our other sponsors too. So, yeah. So glad to hear that. So today we're talking about one particular product called Clarify Larvicide, and we've never actually talked about a feed through fly control product. So how does it work?
Yeah, so Clarify is a really cool product, probably about 15, 20 years old now, which is crazy to think. But so it's a feed through fly control product. It's a larvicide. So it's a additive that's going to go into the feed, or there's some top dress versions available where you just take a little scoop, like most supplements in the horse world, and top dress it. But the horse.
So it is a powder, not a liquid. It's a powder.
It is. Okay. There's different versions of it. So there are a lot of products on the market. The top dress version would be like a pellet, like a mini pellet. But there are more concentrated versions that if you had a custom feed being made or something like that, they could add the powdered version, which is a concentrate. They could add that in at like the feed mill level.
Gotcha. Okay.
And kind of how that works is it basically like we think of it as we're treating the manure, not the animal. We're just using the animal to get the product into the manure. So it basically passes right through in one end, out the other is kind of what I like to joke with people. And it ends up in the manure. And the active ingredient, which is diflubenzuron, when it's present in the manure, it stops the fly eggs that are laid in the manure from hatching. So really kind of a cool, really science, interesting science to the product to help therefore reduce your fly load in your barn.
Well, and how effective is it? I mean, is it due to all the eggs? Is it that effective?
It's extremely effective. I think the kind of lab study number that we have is 96.7% effective when we inoculate manure with the product in like a lab setting. And certainly, you know, as long as they're eating the correct dose and they're eating enough of it, any of the eggs laid in that manure would not be able to make it to the mature fly stage. So it's a really effective product. We've done a lot of studies with it. We use it on the dairy side of our business a lot. And I work a lot on that side, and we've done some different trials.
Cows love to get flies. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh yeah. They're some of the worst. But we've done a lot of different cool trials and, you know, taking pictures and hung traps up and kind of monitored it. And it's so impressive. The drastic change you can see, you know, in the barn when you have something like Clarify in the manure.
How safe is it? Because you are putting another chemical into a body, right? I mean,
right. And it is an EPA regulated product. So technically, you know, it falls into the biorational biopesticide category, but it's a very low risk, very low toxicity product. Like I said, we feed it to dairy cows, no meat or milk withdrawal periods. You know, we feed it in the beef world, the pig, swine world. It's really not being metabolized by the animal. So when I say it's in one and out the other, that's pretty much how it is. So it's a very safe is a hard word. You know, the EPA is not a fan of that, but it's a very low risk product that I think horse owners should feel comfortable about using. I had, you know, we talked a little bit before the show. I grew up with horses and I would have fed it to my horse, you know, any day.
One of the questions we always get, you know, when we're talking about a fly product, well, if my neighbor's not using it and they have horses, you know, and they're 5 acres away, how effective is it? Well, it's not going to obviously help their horses and their flies. And I don't know how a fly flies or travels. But you can only do what you can do on your own farm, right? I mean, that's what you can handle.
Exactly. Like control what you can control, right? So, you know, we can't control what everyone else does. But if you've got a good fly control program on your farm, you know, you're going to see the results of that. And some of the different fly species, mostly around horse barns, you're going to see the house fly and the stable fly being the bigger issue. And they can travel a few miles. But I always tell people, you know, hey, think about if nobody did anything about fly control, right? How bad would it be then? So I agree with you 100%. You know, just focus on what you can control and at your barn. And I think it will be well worth it.
Well, that's a good question, too, is what types of flies does it control that would be in the manure?
Yeah, so Clarify has 4 flies on the label. So it stops the larva of 4 different flies, would be the house fly. House flies are really going to be your kind of nuisance flies. You're going to see those are just kind of buzzing around the barn, maybe in your feed room. They like anything, you know, really sugary, anything high in sugar or molasses. They're kind of a nuisance fly. Really, the concern there is sanitation, just not having, you know, all the little fly specks all over your walls. Disease transmission is a big concern with those guys. And then you have your stable flies. Stable flies actually bite.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, the horses dancing and, you know, they're kind of stomping and
they live in really Florida every day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Then you're probably far too familiar with some of these issues.
If there's a bug, we have it. So you said four types. Yeah. So they got the stable in the house.
Yep. Stable house and then face fly and then horn fly, which horn flies aren't really going to be a concern on horses. They mainly live on pastured cattle. So unless you have maybe horses and cattle running together.
Oh, they're the ones you see swarming around the cows.
Yeah, they're the little ones that are all over the backs of the cattle. Yeah, they're nasty.
Yeah, they are.
The horn fly and the stable fly are blood feeders. So the animal is their food source. So they're biting and causing that painful bite, sometimes up to 40 times a day per fly.
And how cost effective is it compared to like other fly things?
It's pretty cost effective. And I mean, I'll preface this, everything has a cost, right? But I think the value and the comfort that you get, and on the horse side, I think fly control is
well, look how much we spend on bottles of fly spray after bottles of fly spray after bottles of fly spray.
Exactly. Yeah. So something like Clarifly, you might not need quite as much fly spray, or maybe you're not spraying the facility as often as you were. So I think it all balances out. I know on the cattle side, we say it's about 5 to 6 cents per head per day. The horse side, I'm guessing it's probably around there. It also depends on how you choose to feed the product, which, you know, do you want to go with the top dress version? Do you want to go with version that gets added to your feed? So the cost might vary a little bit there, but, you know, I know when I had horses, it's kind of an emotional thing, right? Like we don't want to look out and see the horses just constantly irritated and just getting bit up. And so I think it's, for what it costs, for what you get out of it, I think it's extremely cost effective and it's efficient, right? It doesn't require really a whole lot of extra labor on our part.
Should you do it in conjunction with other things? I mean, are you going to stop using, you know, maybe other fly control methods?
100% you should still, you know, use, we really encourage an integrated pest management or IPM program. And really all that is just saying that, hey, fly control is not a single product, but it's a program. So Clarifly is a great kind of core part to that, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you still won't maybe fly spray, or you might not still do some sticky traps, hang some fly tape, stuff like that. They are such challenging, you know, creatures, and we need to kind of come at them from a couple different angles in order to get the best control. Manure management, I'll throw that out there. That's a huge part of fly control as well. And we really recommend the integrated pest management approach. And we actually own a product line called Starbar. So Starbar is more of our packaged goods like fly baits. We have some more concentrated premise and animal sprays, fly traps, sticky traps, the smelly traps. So that's a really good resource too, is, you know, use something like Clarifly in the feed and then kind of come in and use some of the Starbar products to hit some of these other areas around the farm. And one thing, I'll just throw this out there, but manure management is so crucial to fly control. I mean, if we think about the manure quantity that's produced, right, and flies lay their eggs in manure, I think a 1,000-pound horse produces somewhere around like 37 pounds of manure each day, which is like 9 tons a year. So we need to make sure we have a good plan for that. And there are some products out there, you know, that you can treat manure piles if that's a known complication on your farm. But that's something really important to consider as we're talking about like a whole farm approach for fly control.
It's funny you say that. Our recent survey showed 40% of our listeners are shoveling manure right now while they're listening.
Oh my gosh.
So there you go. I think we're the only podcast. Perfect. We're the only type of podcast that can say that, actually. They can claim
that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Where can people buy either Clarifly or the Starbar products?
I definitely recommend checking out both websites. So centralflycontrol.com has a lot of good information about Clarifly, a lot of good resources there if you want to just poke around and learn a little bit more about it. And then Starbar, Starbar Fly Control. Our website has all the information there. We work through Animal Health Distribution Network. So a lot of your local feed stores, your local farm stores are going to carry both lines of products. And on the Starbar website, I believe, has a where to buy feature. So your local store might come up, some Tractor Supplies. There's certainly a lot of online companies that sell some of these products as well. So they're normally pretty accessible.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you joining me, Ken Lee. It's centralflycontrol.com is the main website to check out. Well, it's time for This Day in Equine History. April 14th is the date Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. In the days following horse-drawn funeral processions became the primary way the nation mourned. The massive ornate funeral car used in D.C. was pulled by six white horses, each wearing long trailing plumes. It set the precedent, and I didn't know this, for the first riderless horse tradition, that, you know, how they do those at state funerals. And, of course, the riderless horse was old Bob, Lincoln's own former horse, who we've done a history segments on in the past. He had sold old Bob, but the guy who bought old Bob after his death, they asked if he could borrow the horse, and he brought him there, and he was there for the DC. Now, they had multiples. His casket went to multiple cities around the country to do this, and was pulled by different horses.
Was it open?
I don't think so. And it was one of those, I think it was one of those fancy hearse type carriages.
Like Dead President Tour?
Yeah, it was a Dead President Tour. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I don't like that. But I do love old Bob being brought back into the fray.
Yeah, old Bob was there, and that started that riderless horse tradition. On April 14th, 1975, we're going to get you started.
No.
Here we go. I should have put this last. On April 14th, 1975, the Queen of the Phillies, Ruffian, began her legendary three-year-old campaign. Despite a long layoff, she ran at Aqueduct as a massive 10-1 favorite. She didn't just win, she humiliated the field, taking the lead immediately and winning by 8.5 lengths. Her jockey simply asked, "What can you say? She's just great."
Oh, I'm going to pour a little out.
Are you okay?
Right. Oh, you can't talk about Ruffian in the show.
Okay.
Carry on. Okay. I'll be over here.
Okay. You have to pay attention to this one. You tune out when I tend to go in the 1800s. So pay attention to this.
Is this some sort of like war thing?
It is, but pay attention to this because it's an incredible story and it's true. Everybody knew about the Battle of Little Bighorn. We all, Custer's Last Stand, all of that, right? 1878. 2 days after the Battle of Little Bighorn in 1878, troops under General Terry arrived to survey the carnage. In a ravine near the river, they found a bay horse standing over the body of his rider, Captain Miles Keogh. So Keogh's dead for 2 days. The horse is still standing over him. Comanche was the horse's name, and he was in horrific shape. He had 7 bullet wounds. Multiple arrows were lodged into his body. This is all true. There's written proof of all of this. The standard military procedure was to shoot the horse. Basically, come in, shoot the horse, and continue with your day. But somebody said, "Don't shoot him, that this horse has such incredible will to live. We need to try and save this horse," because they wanted to save something. This was a massacre. Everything died. So they tried to save him as a living tribute to their comrades. They transported the horse to the river nearby and got him onto a steamboat where they hung him in a sling. Because remember, he had been shot several times. It had arrows. They got him onto a sling on a steamboat and got him to a surgeon, because veterinary care wasn't the same back then. They got him to a surgeon. Apparently, like 4 of the bullet wounds were superficial, but 3 of them, they actually found bullets. And on this day, he was officially retired by General Order Number 7. The order decreed that Comanche would never be ridden again and would never do any work of any kind. And for the rest of his life, he was only on duty to be led riderless and draped in black in the 7th Cavalry ceremonies from that day on. He participated in ceremonies, and that was it. But, you know, the fact that they saved him is pretty incredible, because they just didn't do that back then. And that he actually lived through all of this. It was just nuts. And now, we talked about this in the past. Comanche is stuffed in a museum.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, and you can see the bullet marks. He still has scars from all the bullet and arrow marks. But yeah, he's stuffed in a museum somewhere.
Where is Comanche stuffed? I gotta find out.
I don't know where he was stuffed. I figured this is all I could get away with for your attention span on old history. So I stopped researching here, but I had to do a little more research than I normally did because it was such a fascinating story.
Oh my God, he's right up the street. He's in Kansas. Comanche, the famous horse that survived the 1876 Battle of Little Bighorn, is preserved and on display at the KU Biodiversity Institute and Natural History Museum at the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas.
There you go. You can go see Comanche today. Although I think stuffed horses are kind of weird, but you can go if you want to.
When I was in Ireland, we saw a famous racehorse's skeleton that was in a museum.
I think that's less creepy than stuffed.
Oh, man, this is really tough to look at. I don't want to see these pictures anymore. Bless him heart. Poor little lot for Comanche and for Ruffian.
So on a happier note, we'll end this show on a happier note. Posted a video that made my day. And I don't know if it's because, you know, obviously I'm almost part of your family. We've been together so long. But when I saw that video, do you want to describe it or do you want me to describe it?
You can.
So you posted a video of Chad getting home from flying, right? He was in his official. By the way, I think that's the first time I've seen him in his captain's outfit.
Yeah, he had just driven in.
Yeah, he looks very official in his captain's outfit. He looks very, very official. One of those good-looking pilots you see walking through the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he pulls up, and then you said that Lucas has a dance that night, but it was what kind of dance? Was it
it's called the Recycle Ball, and he goes to this bougie, like, you know, school that has, you know, recycling, and it's powered by the sun, and you know, it's very
in Oklahoma they have a school like that.
I know, I mean, seriously. And so they had the Recycle Ball, and you're not allowed to wear any new clothes, like you're not allowed to buy anything.
Don't
new
go buy a dress wear, yeah.
No, yeah, I don't think the girls really went for that because I saw some of them. I was like, good Lord. But it's a middle school dance and they swear they make it like prom. But Lucas was with the boys and the theme was space, you know, with Artemis and all that landing. Yeah. So once I read that it was space, I decided to rummage through Chad's closet and find one of his flight suits when he was colonel and sell the colonel patches on it and everything.
That's one of the onesies they wear. I call them onesies.
Yes. But I call them putty pajamas. Like, they go to work in pajamas, but they're like flame retardant and very expensive. But I was like, Lucas, try this on. Oh my God. It basically fit.
So your husband had no idea this was happening, right?
No. So we were supposed to leave for the dance at 7:30 and Chad pulled in at 7:25. It was crazy. So we were walking out the door. And so I didn't tell Chad that I was doing it. And I just had Lucas come out and surprise him. And you can see the maybe I'll post that. You know what? I swear to God, every listener has seen it already. You can go to my Facebook page. Yeah. It's on there because it is so crazy. The reach of that video, Glenn, do you know who commented on that video that there's so many people that commented on it that I was really touched by, you know, a lot of Air Force people, past people in Chad's life and in my life and people that I grew up with in Atlanta. But do you know who commented on it? And I was just blown away. I didn't even know I was Facebook friends with her. And it is the doctor who delivered Lucas. Dr.
Really?
Baldwin, she commented on the video. She was like, oh my God, I love seeing this so much. And I'm like, wait, what? She delivered him, pulled him into this world. And she is, I didn't even know we were Facebook friends. So I thought that was so cool. That was really, cool. Really neat.
I love Chad's reaction. First of all, I thought he was going to burst into tears for a minute. But he was shocked by, and I was shocked by, I think all of us were kind that known you for a long time were shocked by the fact that his flight suit fit Lucas. And Chad was like, it fit you? And I think you could see the realization on Chad's face of how big Lucas is now. I think it was one of those that just hits you, right? That's what I think of shock was. It was the fact that he fit. And he did.
The only regret that I have in having a child is that when you have a child, life just, somebody hits a fast forward button. And all of a sudden you look back, you're like, how was that 12 years ago. You know, looking at the comments of the doctors, almost 13 years ago, and it feels like
he looks 16 yesterday. By the way.
I know, he's like a giant human, and I don't know.
Well, that I guess whole realization really well. Was in Chad's face for about 10 seconds that night.
Yeah, I'd already been crying, so it's fine.
Yeah. No, that was special. That was really special. And cool. I'm glad you shared it with the world, because it was really cool.
I texted it to my father-in-law, because he doesn't have Facebook, and so I texted him a video, and he was like blown away, but he was like, oh my God, did Lucas win? Did he win? There's no competition, Papa. Like, he just wore the outfit. And it was really funny.
Okay, but because, did he win?
What? Yeah, there was no competition.
No, did he win?
Oh, did he win? You know what? I think he's over her.
We're on to new hearts now to break.
Well, here's what's going to happen. And Monty talks about this a lot in Join Up is, you know, you follow the horse. And then finally, one day you give up and you walk away. And that's when they start following you. So true. I described this to Lucas. I was like, you've been chasing the herd and now you're going to just walk away. And guess what's going to happen? Herd's going to start chasing you. It's just second nature. So it's going
to
happen.
Welcome
but I don't
to being
know.
A teenager.
I know. It's exhausting. And when Except
nobody ever
mom,
chased me. I was just, that never happened.
You chased and chased.
Chased
but
and
maybe
chased.
He didn't just walk away. He's been very attentive to her for like years. And I think he's over it. So I think he's just going to walk away and we'll see what happens.
He looked really good in the flight suit. He really did. It was cool.
It was really sweet. It was really cool. So I was really happy that we could do that. And Chad walked in at the exact moment. And so I will tell you that we pull up and we're walking into the school and he's like, I think it just hit me, the realization of the fact that I'm wearing my dad's clothes. Dude, you look great. You look great. And so we walk in and two girls come in and they are wearing dresses made out of trash, like plastic bags. Oh, and stuff.
See, they got the spirit.
They got the spirit. But I was like, hey, man, at least you're not wearing trash. And he was like, yes. But they get it, you know, maybe they should have won. His was recycled and it was not something that we purchased and it was just really sweet. And I don't think anybody at his school got it, but those people on Facebook and y'all did. So
well, the
was
proud papa it. Got Chad it did. Too.
Yeah. Proud mama and papa.
All right. Auditors, hang on. We're going to, or auditors, everybody hang on. We're opening up the auditor post show for everybody today. And we're going to hear from Larissa's husband to find out how he liked World Cup dressage. Right after we close the show. So you just don't stop listening when you hear the music. You just keep going. That's how it works for the Auditor Post Show. And everybody will get it today. I did want to mention that tomorrow's the endurance episode. And then Jamie and I will be here on Wednesday and Friday. Get your weird news into weird news at horseradionetwork.com. We're going to be giving away the prizes on Friday too. So we're going to have Friday prizes for really bad ads. So get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
And also, let me remind everybody that if you are going to the Kentucky 3-day, we are going to do a meetup at New Vocations on Thursday night. It starts Wednesday, so Thursday night at the Open Barn and Barbecue. Tickets are free. Just go to New Vocations. I think it's horseadoption.org. You can go to their website and just sign up to get tickets. They're free. They just know you're coming. And we're going to all be there hanging out. So hopefully y'all can join us.
Is that next week?
Oh, my God.
Is it really?
Let's see.
Yeah.
Next week.
All right. Everybody just had a panic attack that's going now after we mentioned that.
All right. Spade Neuter Geld. Keep listening. We did not swear in the post show at all. So it's safe for work.
Time for the Auditor Post Show.
I don't need to play that because we didn't swear. This is safe for kids today.
I know. You can just turn that off.
Yeah, just turned it off. Safe for kids today. We're having Larissa's husband on. What's his name again?
Kyle.
Okay, so we're having Kyle on. And you met Larissa when you moved to Oklahoma. Is that right?
Did you know
her before?
No, I didn't. I moved here. And if you recall, the first couple weeks, months of me living here, I was really struggling. Really not.
Depression had set in.
depression had set in. I left. Yeah. So
Dust Bowl depression had set in.
I guess I sounded really sad because I got an email from Larissa or a Facebook message and was like, hi, my name is Larissa. I have horses. I live relatively close to you. And you sound like
was she a listener? Some...
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's like, you sound like you need help.
I didn't know that she was a listener. Yeah. And that's how you two met.
That's how we met. She was a listener. Oh. She's used to commute. She doesn't listen anymore. She's over it now.
She's friends with you now. She hears it once. She doesn't hear it twice.
If you know me, don't listen to me. It's too much me. Yeah. So that's how we became friends. She was a listener. She invited me to lunch. And it was just really sweet because I didn't know anybody. And I was living on a farm by myself during COVID with a child. It was just a mess. So that's how she met me. And we've been friends ever since.
Makes me happy. So we're combining this. We're going to talk to her husband about his adventures over the weekend, and also it's our horse husband segment for the month. So here you go. Well, hi, Larissa's husband, Kyle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us and doing this. We really appreciate it. So at what point did you find out you were going to head to Texas to watch 85 rounds of dressage?
I guess it was about 3 days prior. Uh-huh. So,
and did you have any resistance, or were you just so happy to spend the time with your lovely wife?
No, I was actually more than happy to drive her down and hang out. I was planning on getting some work done while I was there. That didn't happen. But
no, she said the opposite. She said she caught you doing spreadsheets at one point during the show.
She did, for sure. It turns out dressage music makes me want to go to sleep. So I pulled out my phone and started working on spreadsheets in an attempt to not start snoring in the arena.
So you obviously, she's a dressage rider, so you've seen dressage. Now, luckily for you, it was freestyle. Can you imagine if you had to watch regular dressage tests for that long?
With no music.
I don't think spreadsheets would have saved me.
Can you understand all of it? Now, at that level, I will say, and I'm a horse husband too, and I've seen the high-level dressage, and I will say at that level at freestyle, it is a whole different experience because these guys are really good, and you can appreciate the horses and what they do because they do things you don't normally see, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really neat. It was kind of a brain disconnect for me because if I watched the horse and the music, they weren't exactly in time, so it would throw me off a little bit, but it was really neat. The sound was bouncing off of one side of the arena though, so it some of the music would sound really strange.
Oh, you had an echo almost?
Yeah, you could hear it, kind of the sound slamming into one side and then coming back.
Oh, that
you
would
mean
mess
to tell
with
me
your
that
head.
That 100-year-old arena was not set up for musical freestyles and dressage? What? God.
Yeah, it's almost like when they designed the Dickies Arena in Fort Worth, Texas, they weren't thinking about dressage, which is, I know it's hard to wrap your head around, but it is a possibility.
I don't get it.
Okay, so now it's just us here talking. How many tests in did you start to tune out? Because I could get through 3 or 4.
You know, I think because I've never been to a high level event like that with the freestyle, it took a little bit longer than that. However, I was misled by my wife into thinking there were only like 8 or 9. And then I became quickly aware it was basically a round of 16, I think. So, yeah.
That doesn't sound like a lot if you're watching show jumping, but what these tests are like 10 minutes long. I mean, it's like they go on forever.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 in. So,
you know, it's not so bad. Like the winners, you had the Beatles. That was good, right? She won the thing. And then you, second place, you know, came in with the Rocky theme. But when you get the ones that come in with the traditional classical music, that's what gets you. That's just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. The simple drum beat with like a saxophone overlay is definitely gonna put me to sleep pretty quick.
Gross. So. Somebody had saxophone music in the freestyle, like Kenny G style? No. Grocery store music.
Yeah, it was definitely elevator or hold music at times, just with a little bit more of a beat. But
there's my test done to the elevator music of
Okay, thank you for coming to the dressage finals. Please hold.
Was Larissa always a dressage rider, or did she convert to that?
She rode Western growing up, and then she, you know, tricked me into horses, kind of convinced me that, you know, this and that and dressage, and I had no idea what I was in for. But here we are.
Did she have horses when you married? So you married into it knowingly, or did this come later?
One of her old horses was still at her parents' house whenever we started dating a long time ago. And I think that horse was still around when we got married, but I never actually saw her ride a horse. So she talked about always wanting horses again. Yeah. I feel duped. So, but it, not too bad. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. It's coming from not that world. It's definitely a different thing.
And now pretend Jamie's not here. I can mute her actually. So pretend she's not here. How much did your life change and become better or worse after Jamie showed up in your life?
I would say it became better. Jamie, you know, most of the other dressage ladies, my wife doesn't, she likes them, they're friends and stuff, but they don't necessarily hang out and have relationships past that. Whereas Jamie, they do. So it's, I would say better. And it's less that I have to do. So she, you know, she pitches that off on Jamie more. So it's that works. It gives her an outlet for that. So, which is great.
She doesn't have to.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. So basically, let me translate. Okay. What happened is now when Larissa wants to drive to Arkansas in a 3-hour notice and go see a horse that she wants to buy, I get to go. And the cool thing is those other dressage riders don't get drunk with his wife, but I do.
Yes.
And also doesn't have to listen to bitching about horses, which we all get tired of, right? So
yeah. And Jamie's a way better, like I tell everybody I'm just her enabler. You know, I like to see her happy. So buy the horse.
We have to talk to you about that. You condoned custom boots?
Yeah, I saw it as saving myself around $1,500 because every other boot, now I'm like, you know, taking tally as we walk around this place, and every other custom starts around $2,500. So when that one came in right under $1,000, I was like, buy the boots.
Oh, that is pretty cheap for custom though. Like, she did good. It's like it was free.
Yeah, basically that's what I keep getting pitched. So
Glenn, I'm so proud of you for using that, by the way. I just can't even right now. They were so free boots. And I told Larissa that the boots were free, Glenn. And let me tell you why. Because they didn't have to pay for their World Cup tickets because Kyle ended up with my press pass and Larissa had her press pass. So it was free. So the boots were free because they would have bought the tickets anyway. Oh, my God. I saved. Exactly. You're welcome,
Kyle. At the price of those tickets, it probably is the same price as the boots, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was perfect. You know, they had about a 30% occupancy when we were there, so I probably could have come by tickets, but it was
that is one thing that was commented on, is even the show jumping was not full. Now it's a big stadium, but in Europe that would have been full, you know, so that is a difference too. And probably in Vegas it would have been full.
Yeah
And they were doing, I think they were doing a cutting horse thing while we were there too.
So everybody was over there.
So possibly that probably scooped up some of the, you know, horse business. But it was great. I will say one of my things that kind of took me by surprise was that I went to the F1 race in Austin this year, and the drinks at the FEI event were far more expensive than even F1.
Welcome to the horse world.
Definitely threw me off. They were smaller drinks and more expensive. So, you know, I guess it does kind of play into the horse world. So
welcome to the horse world. And I can say this because it is public. It was in press releases. The company that bought the company that owns us now was the one that bought F1 and took it big time. And then they sold F1. They ran F1 racing for a long time. And they said one of the reasons they got into the horse world was higher steady income. And apparently it also involves the drinks. So there you go.
No way. Just as an aside, before we let Kyle go, Glenn, I would like to paint a picture of what life is actually like for Larissa, because tend to be a little jealous about this. Her husband, Kyle, will go out and put a halter on a horse and lead it around and feed them and dump water and clean the water butt and make and give them water and have the children pick up poop. Like, it's a whole family interactive adventure at their house, unlike my house, which is why I'm friends with Larissa, because I have to have somebody to hang out with during the horse thing. But her whole family's involved, and Kyle's actually a pretty impressive horse husband. He's very capable.
Oh, well, thank you.
Silence.
Yeah, I know. I was waiting. I wasn't going to judge.
He's like, no, it's no, I'm not.
Now, Kyle, the reason partly that I do it and help out around here is because I want the exercise. I kind of view it as farm. It's just my exercise. I go outside and do stuff to get exercise. Is that the reason you do it, or is it actually for the altruistic thing of hanging out with your wife?
Yeah, both.
I call it farm yoga. It's my farm yoga.
Let's be real here. I have got to brag on Kyle, because you just did what? Tell everybody what you just did.
I went to the FEI with my wife.
No. Kyle just got his black belt in which sport did you get your black belt in?
In judo.
Oh, wow.
In judo. Yeah. So he don't need no exercise with the horses. He does it because he loves his wife.
Now, okay? Judo's less kicking and more rolling around on the mat, right?
Yeah, throwing and things.
Yeah.
So it's control. Pretty much the art of throwing a human body. And then.
Well, congratulations. That's hard. That's taken a lot of years.
Yeah, it was fun. So kind of how Jamie and Larissa do horses, I do that stuff. So it's an outlet.
Is that something you started later, or have you always done it?
No, I started later. Wasn't something that I could do because of work and stuff, and now I can. So I started with my kids.
Oh, wow. And why'd you pick judo? I'm always curious why people pick the individual discipline.
Well, we do judo and jiu-jitsu, so it's I don't know. If you've ever seen me, I'm definitely built for picking people up and throwing them. I'm short and stocky, so it kind of plays to my, you know, my good side.
So, Kyle, I was a wrestler in high school, and I was the tall, very skinny kid, and I would wrestle against guys like you, and I hated that because I was the tall, lanky one. And I just, you know, you would think that would be an advantage, but it's not in wrestling.
Yeah, it's I hate going against tall, lanky people. So I think you can, if you probably interviewed those people, they'd probably say the same thing.
Same thing,
about
you. Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Black belt's no small thing.
Thank you.
That's great. What do you still work?
I do. I'm at my office right now.
Can I ask what you do?
We're in the medical services. Okay. So home infusion pharmacy.
Gotcha. See, again, we have smarter listeners than us, Jamie. It just always works.
Well, here's the thing. So Larissa is actually the smartest person I know, and she runs this whole thing, and she made the intelligent, brilliant move of hiring her husband to take away all the work and do it all. And now she gets to ride her new horse. Like, it's win. So
this,
smart.
This is a family business?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Larissa's mom and dad started it, and it's a good, healthy business. We're very lucky.
So. Wow. That's great. That's terrific. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you joining us today, and thank you so much for being with us. It's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. So
next time we'll get press passes to like a polo match or something more fun. Okay.
Oh, there you go. All
right. Bye, Kyle.
I'll do any of them. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Okay, he's a cool dude. I like him.
Yeah.
What a fun couple. You have good friends.
I know. I'm really fortunate to have met them and been a part of it. Like it's funny, you know, as we talk about Kyle and me, but like, I really hardly ever see him. Like, when it's Larissa and I, we just meet somewhere or we travel
Kyle
somewhere.
It that way.
Yeah. Sounds like it. I didn't realize that it was done on purpose.
I think Chad feels the same way. They probably talk behind your backs, actually.
Oh, yeah. They played golf together.
Chad's like, get her out of the house. They ask Larissa to take her somewhere.
Go buy a horse so you can leave.
Yeah. I can see why you two get along too, Larissa and you. I mean, you guys are the same person.
It's like, yeah, I always say it's nice to have a friend who's funnier than me. She's funnier
she
than
is
me.
She is funny. She was really good as a reporter too. She can report anytime she goes to an event. She's really good. Uh-huh. Yep.
Maybe great. I'll hire her instead of me for Kentucky. Let her get on the phone.
We do need her report. Now give us a different report. You two can do it together after you get back from Kentucky. I think that'd be great.
I've got a group of girls. We'll all get drunk and I'll record it. It'll be great.
Okay. So one other thing. We're in the post show. One other thing. Doesn't matter today, but I want to ask you this. So you obviously, because of the weather and everything, had to bail out. You're not bailing out for Kentucky, no matter what happens in your life, are you? You're going.
No. I mean, no. No. I mean,
that's a non-negotiable.
Dressage for a night. There have been many years now that I've been walking around the Kentucky 3-day on the cross country course, staring at my phone because, like, the nothing is coming. Yeah. You know, like the tornadoes.
And then the
are
one
the
year
way.
We had a tornado in Kentucky. So.
Yeah.
Couldn't get away from it.
Just to follow me. So, no, I will not be missing this. You know, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. So I'm knocking on wood. But my plan is to make it. To be honest, I was trying to figure out, like, buying tickets and buying plane tickets because I fly for free. So it's extra painful to pay for airline tickets. But I always buy them for this. But I kind of forgot.
Oh my God, you might not get there at all.
So I'm non-revving. I'm going to try.
You'll be at the airport for 2 days.
I know. I might. And who knows? But I'm starting Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. I'm going to try to catch the first flight. And I fly to Dallas and then Dallas to Lexington is my plan. But you know what? It's going to be an adventure. It'll be fun. It's going to be fun.
Type B fun.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show. Thank you for all your support. Now, go ride your horse.